May God's words be spoken. May God's words be heard. Amen. Nothing like coming back to the pulpit here and finding a very large wasp waiting for you. Hence the spirit coming alive in me. Welcome to the Feast of Pentecost. It is a principal feast day, sometimes thought of as the birthday of the church. And I'm guessing that many of you are wearing festive red, a tradition as it symbolizes the Holy Spirit. I can see you on Zoom. There you go, Kevin. Yet for whatever reason, we talk about C&E Christians, those folks who show up only on Christmas and Easter, but not about CEP Christians, even though it was Easter and Pentecost that for the first few hundred years of the church were the big two. Christmas came much later. This feast day is so important. We celebrate a very, very, very long season of it, right up to All Saints on the first Sunday of November. Not only that, but in classic literature, it was the time that King Arthur would summon his knights to the Round Table and was mentioned by, as it's also called Whitsunday, by the way, and was mentioned by authors from Shakespeare to Dumas. Da-na-na-na. Always wanted to do that. Now you know, or the more you know. Anyway, the texts for this Sunday are particularly poignant in this time in our lives. For they have lessons to teach us, ones we must pay attention and respond to. We cannot call ourselves followers of Jesus, no matter how many times we come to church, virtual or otherwise. So let's start with the main story itself, the anointing of the apostles by the Holy Spirit. Now, this was a gift that was promised to them by Jesus, as we heard about in the text from two Sundays ago. And like many other good and faithful Jews, the apostles, having witnessed the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, were in Jerusalem for the Festival of Weeks, a harvest celebration that falls 7 weeks after the Passover, or 50 days, Penta, after the first Seder. Jewish faithful from all over the known world were there too. It was a large and diverse crowd that would gather for this important religious observance. Now back to those apostles. They're gathered in prayer when suddenly a violent wind filled the house and tongues of fire appeared among them and on top of their heads. And the Holy Spirit filled them and they began to speak in other languages as they had the ability. And when the crowds heard them outside, the ones gathered for the festival, they assumed they were drunk. And that is when we get one of the funniest responses from Peter, right? Nah, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Like that ever stopped anyone. Then again, maybe Jerusalem wasn't the city that never sleeps, said the ancient Near East. So Peter tells them that what they are witnessing was foretold by the prophet Joel. But we'll get to that later. You know, they made the Ten Commandments and the story of Jesus into Hollywood blockbusters, but you gotta admit, this would make a great film, right? I mean, it's got wild winds, fire, festivals, and other strange happenings. Yet when we allow ourselves to be distracted by those things, we can sometimes gloss over something so important, so central to this story of the church's beginnings, and it is this. Pentecost isn't about the spectacle, but about us and who we were meant to be in the world. And we need this reminder of Pentecost and what it means for us now more than ever. For we are a people in pain. This has been another horrific week, hasn't it? Where do we start? We reached the milestone of over 100,000 dead from COVID-19. Think about that. 100,000 people in just a few short months. And we're not yet at the end of this pandemic. And there are over 40 million people out of work and many more facing economic uncertainty. Let me say those numbers again. 100,000 dead and 40 million people out of work. We reached those numbers this week. We witnessed yet another killing of a black man by police, as George Floyd pleaded that he could not breathe while the white officer pushed his knee into his neck and stayed there until he died. Meanwhile, a grandmother in Texas stood over her black grandson to protect him from police. And she was a force to be reckoned with, perhaps even saving his life from the one standing over him with guns drawn for, get this, an alleged traffic violation. How many white folks would have guns pointed at them for running a stop sign? How many of us would have to be protected like that? There was also a hammer-wielding woman in Houston who terrorized a couple from Ecuador who were taking respite there after the wife had been treating COVID patients. She was a doctor. And she was yelling at them to go back to your effing country. And in the video, she's wearing a t-shirt with an Irish flag and driving a German car. You can't make this racist crap up. And the weeks prior were no picnic either. Since the pandemic broke out, the president has quietly deported hundreds of migrant children by themselves, often without notifying their parents. So first we put them in cages or kidnap them from their families, and now we just ship them out without their parents knowing about it. We know this only happens to those with brown skin who speak other languages, too, don't we? We have found that COVID disproportionately affects African Americans and our indigenous tribal people, and the shutdown has impacted women economically at higher rates while also exposing them to situations of domestic violence. And of course, there are always the scores of reports of the oppression and killing of women and LGBT people, not to mention Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and all the other people of color who are killed and are not reported that seems to get lost in the news of the day. It's exhausting. But one thing my faith has taught me is that when things look darkest, the light will shine brighter. Always look for the hope amidst the despair. And so if we were paying attention, there were also hopeful stories. Lots of them, really. There were all those people who took to the streets in protest. All those who care for the sick. All those who stand up for the immigrant. They give us all hope. And I found a bit more hope yesterday, and perhaps you did too, with the launch of the SpaceX Dragon capsule sending astronauts into space. Now, I don't mean that an expensive commercial space program is good news in and of itself, but launches always give us something we don't always see. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love all the Apollo missions. My dad would bring me and my big brother patches from each one, and my mom would sew them into my jean jacket, and we'd watch the launches together. Launches always made me dream about what that must be like, to slip the surly bonds of Earth, as the poem goes, and to see the Earth from orbit. So as Dragon entered into orbit and the images showed the Earth below, I remember this quote from astronaut Sultan bin Salman Assad from Saudi Arabia, who in 1985 was one of a 7-member international crew on the space shuttle Discovery. Speaking of that flight, he said, quote, "The first day or so, we all pointed to our countries. The third or fourth day, we were pointing to our continents. By the fifth day, we were aware of only one Earth." Unquote. And that, this God's eye view of the world, that is the lesson of Pentecost we need to hear if we are ever to fully be the church we celebrate today. And oh, how Jesus needs us to be that now. Because what we so often miss in this cornerstone story of our faith is that it isn't about the pyrotechnics, but about how God works in the world, or really how God really wants us to be in the world. See, the gift that was given to those first church leaders was that they could speak the languages of the people of the earth. Think about it. God could have made all the peoples of the earth speak one language so that the apostles could spread the good news, but no. The Holy Spirit made it possible for the earliest followers to go out into the world and meet people where they are. The foundational gift of Jesus to his church was to open the doors to diversity of God's creation, not to expect everyone to conform to a single way of being. This, too, is the message of St. Paul we heard today, who makes it clear that the church itself is intended to be diverse. He tells us that while we, all the peoples of the world, We are not the same. We are united in the body of Christ, members of a larger whole. But we are different. We are unique, and each are given unique spiritual gifts. And what are all these gifts of the Spirit meant to be used for? Well, that's found in the words of Jesus in today's gospel when he says that out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. And we know what that living water is, don't we? It's the gospel we proclaim, the good news of God's all-inclusive love and grace found in Jesus and lived out by each of us as the body of Christ. The lesson of Pentecost is that our church doors were never meant to be as a gate through which only those who conform to preset standards may enter, but are to be portals through which we are able to come together as the body of Christ, and then to go out into the world to love and to serve everyone, young and old, rich and poor, no matter what gender they claim, who they love, where they were born, and yes, what language they speak. That is how we're able to be the living waters for those who thirst for justice, for compassion, for love, for peace. That is what it means to be the church. But wait, there's more. Now earlier I mentioned the part of our story from Acts where St. Peter told the crowd that this gift of the Holy Spirit manifested in the ability to speak to them in their native language was something foretold by the prophet Joel. Listen to what that prophet said according to Peter. God declares, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Pentecost is about the gift of the Spirit being brought upon the followers of Jesus, that we, men and women, young and old, may everyone may see visions, dream dreams, and speak truth to the world. And what are those visions, dreams, and truth? It is none other than that which is given to us by God. It is God's very vision of shalom, God's dream of love and peace, God's truth that all of the earth are her creation, given over into our care from the beginning of time. You know, next week we're going to hear the story of that beginning of God creating the world found in the book of Genesis chapter 1. And I can assure you, it does not say, God then said, let us make humankind in our image, white, male, straight, and speaking English, and let us create an exclusive place for them to dwell called the United States. But Lordy, if you look around at some people who call themselves Christian, you might think it did. Folks, one thing needs to be made very clear about the news of late, and that is this. The victims weren't killed, beaten, raped, abused, oppressed, or marginalized because of who they were, but because of who we have become. In Pentecost, we are reminded of who we were born to be, a people who celebrate the diversity of God's creation, not destroy it. God calls us to see the world as she sees it. And from God's point of view, there are no countries. Just a world filled with all of God's beautiful creation, all peoples, all of nature, magnificent in its diversity. That is why the gift of Pentecost wasn't one of conformity, but of multiplicity. That is why St. Paul reminds us that we will be a people with a variety of gifts. And so today, on the Feast of Pentecost, we join with the larger church to celebrate our beginnings when the Holy Spirit gifted the earliest followers with an ability to speak and to be heard all over the world. Do we really understand what that means for us today? Because when we are silent, while our government puts family into cages on the border or kidnaps their children, as we ignore their cries of oppression, we have not learned the lesson of Pentecost. When we are silent, when people of color are killed, harassed, told to go back to wherever someone thinks they ought to be, and ignore all their suffering under the tyranny of racism, we have not learned the lesson of Pentecost. When we are silent, when the indigenous people of our country are systematically marginalized, their tribal lands scarred by pipelines and border walls, their waters threatened, we have not learned the lesson of Pentecost. When we are silent, when women are abused, killed, discriminated against in society and in the church, we have not learned the lesson of Pentecost. When we are silent while LGBT people are shunned, pushed to the margins, excluded from our church, beaten or killed, we have not learned the lesson of Pentecost. When we are silent while Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and people of all faith are persecuted, we have not learned the lesson of Pentecost. Because the lesson of Pentecost is that we are not meant to be silent. We are meant to see vision, dream dreams, and prophesy. We are meant to be the living water of Jesus. So let us rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit and go forth into the world to meet people where they are, proclaiming the good news that all people, every single person in the world without exception, is a beloved child of God. Let us go forth to proclaim the good news of Jesus and break the chains of injustice, be a voice for the voiceless, and be a balm of healing and forgiveness for a broken world. Let us go forth to be the people of Pentecost. We are a diverse people called to love and serve a diverse world. And may God give us all the strength and courage to see, to dream, to prophesy, to be the living water of Christ until God's vision of shalom is realized across all the earth. Amen.